Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. Thank you so much for downloading the Holderness Family Podcast. You always look at me when I do podcasts.
I just think it's a lot.
So I'm okay with like being a little over the top and cheesy, kind of like one of our most recent reviews. This is a reminder to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. We love it when you say something, especially when it's something like Holder Yes, that was in the subject line one time, which I love because it makes me laugh, from Newberry Blueberry. You want to read that one?
Real people, real couple, real marriage, really good info. Just discovered this and looking forward to listening to past episodes. Like, I'm anticipating your needs for info and laugh. Love it.
Holder, yes. Wow. No, that's not going to work, is it?
No.
We're not doing that.
I'm anticipating your needs was a fun podcast. I'm not going to say like fun, but it was.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah. We kind of went through how we help each other when times get tough. And there have been some tough times recently. Anywho, as a reminder, we're doing bonus episodes recapping our time on The Amazing Race. And those will drop every Thursday. This past week, we got a lot of phone calls and questions about the race, especially about the 19-month hiatus. So we're going to try to answer those in our bonus episodes. So as just to let you know, we're on season 33 of The Amazing Race that airs Wednesday evening on CBS at 9 p.m. And by the next day we record them, we do have to let CBS listen to get their approval so that we're not spoiling anything. But if you'd like to call us and ask us a general question, even non-Amazing Race related, that'd be ideal. 323-364-3929.
And that's not like your phone number. It'll be like a message saying, hey, it's Penn and Kim. Hey, do you want to say something? And then you leave a message and then we put you on our podcast.
Sometimes. Yes, I know. Phones are weird. Phones are weird. And we have a lot of messages saying, can I just text that number?
Right.
I hear you. I'm more of a texter. I'm not so much of like a phone.
You can, but the whole point of this is to get more of you guys.
I don't think you can text the number.
And oh, I'm just saying, okay, but you can like DM us on Facebook or whatever, or on the gram.
He doesn't check.
Listen,
those.
We're going to move on because yes. I want to call this a special episode because last week we had Ian Morgan Cron on and he's an Enneagram expert. He's a therapist. He is incredibly good at getting to the core of us in a very direct, positive and very interesting way. So we split our interview with him into two parts. Last week, if you didn't hear it, was largely based on my Enneagram type and some of the things that I've been doing that have limited my life story and things that I should do to help complete my life story in the way that I want to. He thinks that that every Enneagram is a story that has some aspects of it, like your Enneagram type sort of limits you and limits your ability to live your life story. And so it's a positive way to fix it. So anyway, today is more about Kim. Today is part two of our interview with Ian Morgan Cron.
Well, in this episode, we actually do cover all of the Enneagram types,
yes.
Which, I mean, if we were better at this, we should have done in the first episode.
We're not better at this.
We're not better at this. And it gets a little personal. There may have been some tears. You know, sometimes, so I'm a crier. I cry. I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I'm just a crier. But sometimes when somebody just like nails a question to you or like
it just lands
and it just lands.
Yeah.
And it's like other people probably process that with some quiet reflection. I just start crying. So
it doesn't last long. You're not like a long crier. You cry and then it's fairly intense, and then you just continue on with your talking. It's
when
crazy.
When I'm mad, I don't know. I mean, I'm not taking it as a character flaw because I have too many of those, so I can't add crying to that. But when I'm angry, I cry. When I'm happy, I cry. Anyway, yeah. As a reminder, Ian Morgan Cron is a champion of Enneagram and best-selling author of the popular Enneagram book, The Road Back to You. He has written a new book titled The Story of You, A Practical Guide to Rethinking Your Story and Using the Enneagram to Change It. He hopes to free your mind of the self-defeating messages you learned in childhood.
Yeah, and the Enneagram is an ancient personality typing system. It identifies 9 types of people and how they relate to one another and the world. It is a powerful tool for understanding why we behave the way we do and how our personalities are powerfully influenced by our motivations. So Cron explains step by step how each Enneagram type can find happiness by understanding their origin story, harnessing their type's strengths, acknowledging their weaknesses, and creating space for a better life-giving story. He does all of this in his new book called The Story of You, where, I mean, he's written a lot of books about Enneagrams, but this one is where he tells you that really your Enneagram is part of a story. And I like that. I like storytelling. I relate to this one the most. And I think that's probably why we both got really shook with our interview with Ian Morgan Cron, which continues right now.
So if it's okay with you, I'm going to frame them out as stories versus personality Perfect. Types.
And, yeah, and that's the theme of your new book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also remember this, that you know, there's this great quote by the author Patrick Rothfuss that I love. He says, "It's like everyone tells a story about themselves inside their own head, always, all the time. That story makes you what you are. We build ourselves out of this story." Mm-hmm. Okay. So your personality really is a product of the story you tell yourselves about who you are and how the world works. So by the way, then if you change your story, your personality will become healthy and more beautiful. Mm-hmm. Right. As a result. Okay. Ones are called the improvers. The story of the one centers around this mistaken belief that in order to win love and to be of value in the world, that they have to perfect themselves, others, and the world. Right. And that they have to be good or they can't be loved. And they have to avoid judgment and blame and criticism pretty much at all costs.
Also, just want to add, they are so wanting to improve things that they actually shouted out to Ian enough that he ended up changing the name from perfectionist to improver.
Oh, that is absolutely true. I did. If I had a nickel for every improver that has thanked me for changing the name, I would be Jeff Bezos. I kid you not.
You got one of them right here.
Well,
I mean, I don't even know if you read the entire paragraph once they I don't think you got past the word
because
they give you the result.
Block.
It says perfectionist. And then there's like a couple of pages about it. She just couldn't read it because she was just staring at that word in the top. So this is it's definitely an improvement. Sorry, we should let her get to number two.
Yes. Okay. Number two.
Okay. So twos are called the helpers. These folks, when they're in a good space, are giving, they're supportive, they're servant hearted people who just desperately want to be liked and appreciated. Now, we all want to be liked and appreciated, but twos really want to be liked and appreciated. Okay. Yeah. So people inhabiting the fiction of the helper unconsciously believe they can't be loved for who they are, but only for what they do for other people. Mm. And so it makes sense then that, you know, disowning their own needs and helping others becomes their strategy for gaining love and approval. Mm. Now, you know what happens. That story helped that little two make sense of the world as a little person. It got them there. It got their needs met. Right. Mm. People all went, oh, good helper. Right. But when you drag that story into adulthood and you continue to live in it, you just become a codependent mess. Right. And it's going to cause all kinds of problems in your life. All right. Mm. Threes. Threes are called the performers, and threes are goal driven. They're goal crushing machines. They're image conscious and they're accomplishment focused people whose dominant story is based on the mistaken notion that being successful and avoiding failure at all costs is the only way, the only pathway to being valued and loved.
I thought I was a three.
Yeah.
In reading this, but then literally everything I read and everything you present, I'm 100% a one, but because I don't want to be a one, I thought I was a three.
That's exactly why you're a one.
But I just, but everything I read about the three, I'm like, oh, that's me. Like goal oriented, check, check, check. But anyway, continue.
Do you think that's what you want to be?
We'll continue.
Oh, I thought I hit a deep nerve there. Maybe not. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
But you know, here's the thing, you know, threes and ones have lots of similar traits, but what drives their behavior, the motivation is very different.
Right.
You know, for you, I would say that you have a big drive for excellence, doing things correctly, being responsible, being dependable, doing things right the first time. Now, at the same time, what's driving that is your desire to be good. To really be good. The three's desire to do that is in order to be admired. Okay. So do you see the difference in the motivation?
Yeah.
Very different. Okay. So fours, I'm a four. We call them the romantics, creative, sensitive, image, not image conscious at all. They're temperamental and they can be emotionally intense people whose broken story really revolves around the misguided idea that they're missing something crucial inside. And until they regain it, they will never be loved and understand or feel whole and welcome in the world. And so they become addicted to their own suffering and they seek to shore up this sort of shaky self-image and achieve belonging by appearing unique and special.
Do you feel like addicts, so you, in the description of four, and we have, as Penn has admitted here, and then other people in our life, we know a lot of addicts.
We know some addicts.
But and you describe every single addict I know. Do you feel like are addicts all kind of all over the Enneagram, or do you find that there are a lot of fours?
They're all over the Enneagram. Okay. Partly because I think addictions are also genetic. Yeah. I do believe there's a genetic component. I believe that all addictions at their core are responses to trauma.
Yeah. 100%, 1,000% right? Correct. Yeah.
So any type can have trauma. Let's just face this. All of us are recovering children. All of us. Right?
Yeah.
And so we all have trauma. Now, some of us have little T trauma and some of us have capital T trauma. Right. And so, but all of us organize our lives in many ways around avoiding pain and unresolved trauma.
Yeah.
So any number can be an addict, okay. But I do see a lot of ones. I see a lot of ones. I see a lot of fours. I see a lot of sevens. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of nines. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
They're all over the place. Anyway, sorry to derail you. So four. Okay. Got it.
Okay. So you want to go to fives?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. They're called the investigators. They're private, highly observant, analytical, and they're also emotionally distant people. Their story centers around the idea that the world is intrusive and makes more demands on them than they can meet, particularly in the relational sphere. So fives protect themselves against intrusion by reducing their own needs, by observing rather than participating in life, and gaining lots and lots of knowledge to fend off feelings of inadequacy.
Can I say I have a weird attraction to fives, like a weird, I'm drawn to fives because I love like just the unique opposite perspective. I also like always try to cheer them up and it never works.
Well, I mean, now fives can be, I mean, very cheery people, but what you may be responding to is their introversion. You are you're an extraordinary extrovert.
Yeah.
You might interpret introversion as melancholy or sadness. If you want to cheer anybody up, you need to cheer up a four. You know what I mean? Okay. Like fours would be more of a challenge.
He has an assignment now. He's going to be calling you and sending you funny memes.
I shouldn't say that's like my main goal. I love asking questions to fives. I just love getting inside their brains. I think that's one of the big things.
Yeah. Yes. And that makes sense because sevens just love new and fascinating ideas.
Squirrel.
And fives have tons of them.
Yeah.
Because they're constantly aggregating all this information and they have, and when you ask them about it, they won't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
So sevens love that. Yeah. Sevens love it. So sixes, oh gosh, the loyalists, they're warm, trustworthy, they're questioning, and they're very anxious people. Their story revolves around the idea that the world is a very, very dangerous, unpredictable, and chaotic place in which the only way to feel safe and certain is to be hypervigilant and prepare themselves for the worst. Mm. So they're always mentally rehearsing. I have a friend of mine who's a six, and he likes to say that he suffers from pre-traumatic stress disorder.
That might be me too.
Kim is an ambigrammer. She's
right. Well, I mean, it's a good point. So remember, actually, and people don't realize this, and it's so important, you actually contain all nine types. So you will have characteristic features of all nine types. Mm-hmm. The difference is it's just one type that sounds more like you than all the others. Mm-hmm. Right. But you will have features and traits of all nine types. Mm-hmm. Wow. It just got very dark in here suddenly.
Oh, see,
very
that's strange. A type four thing to say. It's OK. We're going to be fine, Ian.
Maybe I need to pass my hand in front of the camera and get it to be lighter.
Can I ask another question? You just said something I thought pretty enlightening, that really what makes you a dominant trait of one number or the other is how you like just sort of one that sounds more like you. Then why do we take a test and then they tell us what we are? Why can't we just tell you what we are?
Because if we did, I would be like, no, I'm not a one. I would reject I would reject everything about who I actually am.
Yeah, I guess I'm just saying, it's not like you're going to get the Enneagram that you want.
Now, usually when you discover your type, it feels you feel a little bit existentially queasy.
Yeah.
You know, there's this feeling like, oh, that really kind of feels like it read my mail. I don't like that. Right.
Right.
Because here's the thing. I'm describing the types not in their sort of healthiest place. You know,
right.
When you're in a good story, when you're living in the right story, when you're healthy in your personality, you're gorgeous. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. Right. So, you know, I would also say that lots of people learn the Enneagram by reading a book like The Road Back to You, like reading my new book, The Story of You. You know, I have video courses, if you're not a reader, right? An 8-hour course called Discovering You. So there's lots of ways to learn your type, but only you, by the way, can determine your type based on the information. So Kim, you can't tell Penn early on in the journey, oh, you're definitely a seven. That's something Penn has to own, and vice versa, right? Because only Penn knows what his inner terrain really is like. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even though anyone who's ever listened to me or talked to me has just been like, okay, Penn's a seven, move on. Like, I guess I'm just a flaming seven. I don't know. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think you might be.
Okay, so moving on, I think you're on seven now, so you can describe our seven.
Well, we already sort of did that, but I can do sort of a quick flyby. You know, sevens are, I would say that the self-limiting narrative of the seven arises from the unconscious belief that painful emotions and thoughts and situations must be avoided at all costs because they're afraid they're going to get stuck and there's going to be no one there to support them. Right. Mm-hmm. They're charming. They're intelligent. They're entertaining. They're future focused. Nobody is a better storyteller than a seven. They're adventurous, spontaneous, but they are so afraid of being trapped in negative feelings from which they can't escape.
Mm. It's so like, and I've read a gajillion things about Enneagrams, and it's the last sentence that feels very new to me today. Mm. Not that you haven't said it before, but just feeling trapped in negative. I've just never heard it written that way, and it's just right. It's so right, but it's a little bit deeper than what I'm used to reading about these things.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
So you got to read my new book. You got to read my new book, The Story of You.
Like,
right?
I said, yeah, I'm on page. So no, this was on like page 26, 27, somewhere. I can't remember. And I had to put the book down like when I read that and I had to stop and like think on it a little bit. So, all right, that's seven.
Eight.
Eights, the challengers. My mom is an eight. Can I just tell you a quick story about my mom? When I put her in assisted living, it was right around the time that COVID was breaking out and she still had her wits about her, you know? And as you know, it was blowing through care centers like crazy.
It was responsible for half of the deaths in the United States in the first 3 months. It was at those facilities. Yes, we're very well aware.
So I said to my mother, who smoked Pall Malls for 75 years and only gave up when the geriatrician told her that she was going to blow up the oxygen tank if she kept lighting up cigarettes next to it. Right. So I said to my mom, I called her on the phone. I said, "Hey, mom, have you been attacked by COVID yet?" And she goes, "It wouldn't dare."
Like, that's not how I'm going to go. Yeah.
That is pure eight energy, right? The broken story of the eight centers around their belief that we live in this dog-eat-dog universe where the powerful dominate and take advantage of the innocent and the weak. And to survive, eights believe that they have to assert strength and power over people in the environment to mask vulnerability and weakness from themselves and others, right? So they can be aggressive, blunt, assertive. We like to say that my mother could start an argument in an empty house. You know, I mean, she's got this larger than life, and at times combative presence. But she's 93 now, and she did some work, and she learned to be more vulnerable later in life. You know, later in life. But I'll tell you, as a kid, she's the reason I had so much therapy. Moving on, nines.
Moving on. All right, we're back.
And we're back.
Right. So the peacemakers, I love peacemakers. I'm married to one. I have a daughter who's one. Their broken story centers around the unconscious belief that the world thinks their presence really doesn't matter that much, right? Mm. So to avoid disconnection and to keep the peace, the inner peace, the outer peace, which is very important to them, they believe they got to go with the flow, avoid conflict, and merge with the preferences, viewpoints, and priorities of other people, right? Now, I could write 200 pages on all these types. Those are like three sentences for each one. So that's just a flyby.
Have you thought about doing a book on each type?
You mean like one book on nines, one book on ones, one?
Yeah, and like it's an encyclopedia and it's just got the number on the side instead of the letter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have thought about, you know, like maybe writing 975 page books, you know, on each of the types, but there's a lot of other stuff going on right now.
I didn't mean to throw that on you.
So, well, that being said, so the road back to you, the way I kind of like picked out what pertained to me. And so the format of this book, I feel is like, I kind of need to know about his story. Like just talk to me about the reading experience and how they're alike and how they're different.
So I think it's great to know your own type, but I think it's not enough because, you know, we want people to have emotional wisdom and self-awareness. And so I want to know all nine types because I got a seven in my family. I got an eight. I got a nine. I got a brother who's a six. I think in order to have real wisdom and empathy, we need to know what other people are like, not just us.
Most importantly from this book, you're talking about, you know, self-limiting narratives and broken stories. How do you know if you have one that needs to get changed? And are those people, are there people who you're like, you're good. This is a good story. I mean, I know that you said that when you're at your best, you're beautiful and you're glowing, but is there a good indication for those who haven't bought the book and may need it that you need to change your story?
Yeah. Well, I think at some point in life, we all need to have an evaluation and go, am I living in the right story? I mean, as a therapist, and I've just heard so many people say to me, I just feel like I'm reading off a script that's not mine. You know that feeling? It's like, or they're like, why do I keep ending up making the same mistakes in relationships at work with friends? You know, why do I have this sense of kind of malaise? Like I've sort of kind of just going through the routine of life and not on autopilot, but there's no joy. There's no excitement, you know? And when I start to hear that stuff, I'm like, is it possible that you're living in the wrong story? You know, I posed the question that was posed to me. And when I do that, I can't begin to tell you how many times people go, what did you just say? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, maybe you're stuck in the wrong story. It's time for a new one. And they go, I can do that? And I'm like, yeah, you can. You have complete, you're the narrator of your life story. So you have the power to change the story. Most people kind of resign themselves to the story. They're like, well, this is what happened. This is who I became as a result. And I'm just going to, you know, run this until I die. Right. And I'm like, don't do that. You do not have to do that.
So I'm somebody who walks with anxiety and some depression. And on the days where I'm like, okay, this can't be my story, to use your language there, the language I use is I'm going to pretend that I'm somebody who doesn't have anxiety. So I'm going to act like I'm going to do the things that people without anxiety do. And which means, like, on certain days, you know, I had a bad day this week. So I was like, people without anxiety wake up and exercise. They take a shower. And people without anxiety work. And they check their email and they write scripts and things I had to do. But I literally had to tell myself, repeat in my head, this is what people without anxiety do. But it seemed, and I got through the day and it was fine. And, you know, the world kept turning. But for that day, it seemed like I was an actress. It seemed a little false.
In the wrong skin.
It seemed a little false, but it's what I needed to do to get through the day and pick up my kids and make dinner. And I had to act. Does it ever feel more authentic if I rewrite my story, if I get through all this, does it ever feel like authentically? Like, I mean, you've done it.
You know what, Kim? I would say that is so healthy what you did. I think that is trying to become a new storied one, right? New storied. And what I mean by that is, you know, well, I'll give you a question. I had a friend of mine, actually it was my sponsor. I was so anxious about a conversation I had to have that I was avoiding it. And I called him and I said, I don't want to have this conversation. Maybe I don't need to have this conversation. Maybe it'll just go away, the problem, you know, whatever. And he asked me this question. I encourage you to use it. He said, what would you do right now if you weren't afraid? And I remember going, what? He said, what would you do right now if you weren't afraid? I'd say, well, I would know that the right thing to do is make this call and have the conversation. And he goes, great, do that and call me back in an hour. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I have used that sentence so many times, like, what would I do right now if I wasn't afraid? Mm-hmm. And inevitably, I end up doing the right thing. And that's what I hear that you did. What would I do right now if I wasn't anxious? Well, I'd exercise. I would do this. I would do that. And I think that we can live into the new story. And maybe at first, it doesn't feel false. It just feels awkward.
Right.
It feels like I'm burning calories to do this, right? Too many calories. And you know, eventually it becomes normative.
Okay. And eventually it'll become easier.
Kim just asked a question and she described something. Ian just said, great job, Kim. What you're doing is a perfect example of living your story correctly. Do you think that Kim heard that compliment, or do you think she's moved on to something else that's wrong? Or I just like, I love my wife. I don't know how well she accepts praise and is able to enjoy doing something correctly. Does that sound about right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I'm not misrepresenting you.
No. I heard what he said was like, I followed the instructions and I did a good job of following the instructions and I should continue to follow.
Oh my gosh. I think it's so much harder than that though. I mean, you heard, like, I have a broken narrative. We just talked about it and you are so much better in touch with yourself. Like you're getting an A+ on this right now. I just want to make sure you know that and that you're hearing that. I want to make sure that
I love a goal and I love to, like, I love documentation of progress.
But like, sit in this moment and be like, oh my gosh, I'm doing something right.
I'm sitting, I'm feeling.
Okay, good.
Kim, do you, in your new story, my hope for you is that you realize that you're already good.
There it is. No, I'm answering for her.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Can I ask what you're feeling right now?
I just don't feel good. I don't know why. I'm sorry.
And sorry. You don't have to apologize. Like, we're both sitting here wanting you to feel what you're feeling. And so please don't apologize. Yeah. Everybody who's listening and everyone who's watching wants you to get to this point, right? And I think he just asked the most important question. And I should probably stop talking.
No.
As a seven, I should shut up here.
No, I'm fine.
You know, it's very interesting, Penn, what you just said. And I'm really glad you had the self-awareness to realize I don't need to make her feeling go away for me to feel happy right now.
Yeah. You have to like put on your own oxygen mask, you know?
Yeah. And just, you know, if you could just sit and be present and not say, what you were doing just then is called reframing, which is something all sevens do, which is like, how do I take this moment and turn it into something good? Instead of just saying, I can just stay here and be with Kim in this and not reframe it and make it into a positive, but just sit and be present to what she's feeling. Cause that's actually what she needs probably. Kim, is that right? Or
yeah.
I'm sorry, baby.
I
do usually try to do that. I do try to make her feel better. We are on a podcast. So it may have been a little weird if it was just 4 minutes of this.
Yeah.
But God, if ever there was a time for me to shut up, that was
no,
it.
No.
I love you, babe.
I love you too, baby.
Like I'm not going to reframe it. I'm just going to sit here.
No, I'm good.
No, I mean, you're right. We are on a podcast, and so we do have to move on to other stuff. But but can I just say that was such a beautiful moment, and it also that's going to help a lot of people what just transpired. They're going to listen to this, and they actually are getting a picture of the work involved in choosing a new story for both of you. You know, part of the journey of the seven is I'm just going to be here for this. Stay, heal, stay, right? Mm-hmm. And Kim, part of the journey for you is getting in touch with your core goodness and that you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to perfect others. You don't have to be the perfect daughter, the perfect daughter-in-law, the perfect wife, the perfect mom. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you're already good. That's the new story. And the book lays that out. Like it gives a vision of what is the new story for each of our types. And what just happened actually so excites me for people to read the book because I want them to get to the place you just got. I want a two to say, I don't need to meet everybody's needs and exhaust myself forever and ever. I can be loved just for who I am. My value is not predicated on being someone who's always there for everybody else except me. That's the new story for the two. And I could go through all nine, but you get the idea.
Yeah. No.
And I need to not shout, what's wrong with you? You are good. Which I have learned that. And I've learned that through, I learned that mostly through the prism of dealing with someone with anxiety. I don't know that if I'm thinking about it through the prism of the Enneagram and the personality type that she is, it's always been more about, okay, I'm picking up on some vibrations from her. This is time for me to just kind of sit here. But I've never thought about it this way, about letting her kind of come to her own conclusions without me constantly being her cheerleader. That's good. That's good advice.
Mm-hmm. But by being just present is being something of a cheerleader,
right.
But it's also being a legitimate
empath.
I mean, it has so much power. And by the way, Kim, just so you know, and Penn, you know, sevens have a tremendous amount of anxiety. They just experience it differently. Mm-hmm. If you really sit still too long, you're going to get anxiety. And the anxiety, part of the reason you do live so future oriented, so positively, is really trying to skate, ahead of the crack of anxiety right behind you.
I have this,
you know what I mean?
I have this cartoon image of Penn. Anytime he is leaving and meeting with his parents or we encounter difficulties, anything, it's like the roadrunner, like outrunning, like what, like he's literally trying to outrun the cloud of the dust cloud of emotion that's behind him. He's like in it with a smile on his face and he's like beep, beep, you know, and just outrunning
it. And it is so Chris Traeger from Parks and Rec. I know it's my second time doing this reference, but thank you. And look, Ian, I have had panic attacks. Mm-hmm. I've had them. They're much less intense and they're much less frequent than Kim's. But I was really glad when she was around to explain it to me. I've got a little bit of Ted Lasso in me in that sense where I think you I guess Ted Lasso is probably a 7, isn't he?
Yeah,
have you seen Ted Lasso?
And, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And by the way, can I just tell you something kind of fun and cool? Mm-hmm. I was recently invited to a screenwriting class at a university.
Oh, fun.
And yeah. And what I did was go through Parks and Rec because all nine types are represented in the main character.
Oh, I got to do this
crazy.
Now. This is so much fun.
Okay, so what's Leslie Knope?
She's this. I don't know. Yeah,
Ian.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to give us all the characters, but she's.
Really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Leslie Knope is a one.
Oh, she's a perfectionist.
Yeah, she's Kim.
That's me. Yeah. Minus the binders. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The two on the show is. Oh, gosh.
Is it Jerry?
The nurse. What was her name?
Ann Perkins.
Yeah.
Ann Perkins is a two. The three is the guy
Tom Haverford.
Always starting new.
Yeah.
The new businesses, and he's doing all
Tom
this
Haverford.
Stuff all the time.
It's Tom Haverford.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four is the other guy's girlfriend becomes his wife.
Remember Adam Scott? It's Adam Scott. It's Leslie's husband.
No, Chris Pratt. Mm-hmm.
Amy, isn't it Amy? The one that is, she majored in Halloween studies in college.
April Ludgate. Yeah.
April. Right.
Oh,
April. You're going to find this, surprising, but, I'm forgetting all these characters' names, but Ron?
Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
He's a five.
He's the five.
That makes sense.
Detached and private, analytical. That's
right.
Good.
The six is Leslie's, boyfriend.
Adam. Yeah. Ben Wyatt.
Mm-hmm. Ben Wyatt. The seven is obviously Chris
Traeger. It's got to be Chris Traeger. Yeah.
But also the other character is the guy that goes out with Amy.
And
Chris Pratt. It's
Andy Dwyer.
Chris.
Yeah.
Andy Dwyer.
That's a seven too.
Yeah.
The eight is the African American secretary.
Oh, Donna.
Yep.
And the nine is Jerry.
Oh, Jerry.
I was just hoping we could find Jerry, a spot for Jerry. I'm glad we found a spot for Jerry.
So,
holy cow.
If you've seen Parks and Rec, you're welcome for the last 2 minutes. If not, you should go watch it.
You absolutely have to watch it.
It is my, just as somebody, I think this is an attribute of somebody with anxiety, is that I only want to watch things I've already watched and I know exactly how they end. And so
you listen to it like radio at night.
That's my comfort TV.
Yeah.
Is a show like that. Like if it's not that, it's something like that. So I'm the last person to watch a new show. Even Ted Lasso took me a minute to get into. I of course love it. It's one of my favorites because I just needed to like make sure that it was safe. I'm a ball of fun.
Yeah. Ones often have a hard time with shows like The Office.
The uncomfortable humor, it makes me very uncomfortable.
Curb your enthusiasm.
I don't find it comfortable watching people get uncomfortable. Like I don't like the type of comedy where people get embarrassed. I get embarrassed for them. Like I have like this empathy of people that are like those clips online of people tripping and falling. I'm like, ooh, like it makes me cringe. I'm like, oh no. So, well, thank you, Ian.
Send us the bill.
Just send us the bill.
Yeah.
And again, his new book is titled The Story of You. It's a practical guide to rethinking your story and using the Enneagram to change it. And where else can people find you and find information about you?
Well, obviously, The Story of You, they can get on Amazon. They can walk into Barnes & Noble. They can go anywhere and get it. They can go to my website, Ian Morgan Cron, and that's, I have to spell it because it's a weird name, IanMorganCron.com. And they learn about my courses. They can learn about, you know, all the different stuff that I'm doing and have available. And also they can, you know, find me on all the social channels at Ian Morgan Cron.
And your podcast.
And thank you. And my podcast, Typology, which I think we just celebrated something like 20 million downloads recently. Whoa.
It is such a great podcast.
Million, something like that.
Yeah.
And I will say that and I never say this, so don't think I'm blowing smoke. I love hanging out with you guys.
Oh my gosh. Same. Can we just set this up weekly? I just really feel like.
Wait a minute. Why don't we just do that? That would make my job so much easier.
He already has a podcast.
No, we'll just merge them. Let's just merge them.
We'll just merge podcasts.
Let's just merge podcasts, or let's do a podcast on Parks and Rec and just talk about that for an hour, like how, like go episode by episode with Ian and let him break down everything that's going on.
That would be the podcast that people didn't know they needed right there. This has been, we were so excited that you would be on our podcast and on your, I have to say, if you listen, it was hard for me to re-listen to the when we were on your podcast because of all of the discoveries I was making in real time about myself. But I know a lot of people who did listen to it and who are followers of your podcast, and then they reached out to us. So thank you for having us on.
Well, and thank you for letting people know about the story of you. I hope it goes out into the world and really does change a few lives here and there.
I really think it will. I mean, even just today's conversation.
Yeah, we're both going to need a couple hours to get over this.
I know. I had plans on being really productive for the rest of the
day. It's not going to happen.
I just...
I bet you we're going to feel energized after this. I think like anytime you... look, here I go being a seven again. I think that like when you make a discovery like this, it may not happen immediately, but you're going to have more energy somewhere.
Feeling things is exhausting.
I know. Right now it is. I get it. But... you know, he Stuart Smalley'd you a little bit. He, you're good enough. You're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you.
That's true.
I am. I'm screwing this up again by talking about it. Can we just hit stop?
No, okay. Don't hit stop. Okay. Anyway, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for listening. I hope this was helpful to people. I hope it wasn't so much about us that it wasn't helpful for other people. Go get this book. And...
spoiler alert, our podcasts are always about us.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you got something out of that. I know we both did. Again, part one, if you want to just kind of scroll back, part one was really impactful as well, I felt. And he just definitely has a way through Enneagram of asking the right questions. And it's fascinating to me. And I definitely want to learn more about it.
Right. And I'll say this. I've been telling you for 17 years now how great you are. And how good of a person you are and how successful you are. But there is this thing in the marriage where like when the husband says something, you don't always hear it. It happens both ways. Like you'll tell me something and I won't listen to it. And then someone else will say something and you'll say, oh, thanks. And sometimes I get upset about that. I'm like, why didn't you hear it when I said it? Well, guess what? I didn't say it as well as Ian did. He said it so perfectly that you are good enough. You're better than you think you are. And I don't know that I've never been able to frame it the right way. And I hope you heard what he said. And I hope that you can absorb that and let that be a part of you, that you are good enough. You're smart enough.
And gosh darn it.
People like you.
It's very Stuart Smalley reference. I'm going to work on it. It is definitely something for somebody who doesn't struggle with this. You're like, well, why? Of course you're fine. You're doing great. You're doing a great job. But all the lenses that I wear just see things that need to be improved. And that's just the way I'm built, just like you are, the way you are. And it's just something I need to rewrite in my story, and I'm working on it. Anyway, thank you for listening. We will have a new Amazing Race recap episode this Thursday. Lots happening, lots to cover in that. And if you have a suggestion for guests or podcast topics, just hit us up on Instagram. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.